Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at azulachurch.com.
And I want to jump into the Word. That's what I want to talk about. So I want to talk to you today. Last week, if you were here, we've been in a series called The Miracles of Jesus, and I think I kind of alluded that maybe last week was the last one, but I don't want to say I lied. I just think I got redirected, and I want to make today the last installment of this series called The Miracles of Jesus. And again, if you've missed any, that's okay. They're standalone sermons that speak to us, but we've been looking at the 37 miracles, some of the 37 miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And we just believe that Jesus didn't just do those in the Gospel, and that's great, but that he still does miracles today in our church and in our lives. And so we're so excited about that. And so this one today is the last one I'm going to talk about. There's a reason behind that, coming off the holiday that we just came off of. And today is a unique one. I've never preached this scripture before. I've very rarely even actually studied much of it before jumping into this series. But I thought it was appropriate, coming off of Thanksgiving holidays, where I pray that you paused during that time and you reflected on what you were thankful for. Because I believe, contrary to slogans and other Christians and all that stuff, I believe, contrary to that, we all have something to be thankful for. There's something. You can find it. There's something to be thankful for. And so today I want to talk to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it'll be on the screen. This is a unique miracle, but maybe you've read it before, and we'll jump right in. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And it says this: after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum. Now, let me just stop there and just remind everyone that Capernaum's a town north of Jerusalem on the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was kind of like Jesus' hub for everything where he did. It was kind of his home base for ministry. In fact, many of the miracles that Jesus performed, most of them in the Gospels, happened in or around Capernaum, this town that was there. So they were in Capernaum, and the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter, and they asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute, because I'm sure all of you know what the 2 temple drachma tax is, okay? I'm sure everyone, you all know that. I'm sure I didn't need to explain it, but maybe your neighbor next to you doesn't know what the 2 temple drachma tax is, okay? Because I know that's just really on your study list, right? To know what the 2 temple drachma tax is. So here you got to understand, 2 drachma was basically the essential of 2 days worth of wages. So 2 drachma back then would be about 2 days worth of work, 2 days worth of wages. And this tax that they're talking about is not a political government tax. In fact, the Romans, they had their own tax that they required of people. But this 2 drachma tax was actually a religious tax. It was brought in by the church. And if you called yourself a Jewish person, then you had to pay this Jewish tax. And the idea behind it was that this drachma, this required Jewish tax, was to support the temple. It would help to keep the temple up. I don't know if that was actually true. Bible might contrary that, but that was the idea behind it. Was you required to pay this tax if you were Jewish and to the temple. And it wasn't their tithe, and it wasn't an offering. It was a required tax. Now, we've thought about bringing this as part of CLC structure and strategy. I don't know how very well it would go over, but we've thought about it. It'd be good, right? Require tax. And so they asked Peter this question, right? In this scripture, they said, "Does your teacher pay the temple tax?" Now what they're doing here is they've heard of Jesus, and they're trying to trip him up. They're always trying to catch him in some weird spot or some weird thing. So we know that Jesus is Jewish, right? And so he would have to be required as a Jewish person to pay the tax. And so they're trying to say, "Hey, does he pay it?" They're trying to trip him up. Now look what verse 25 says. It says, "Yes, he does." This is Peter replying. Now, again, I don't know if Peter actually knows if Jesus paid the tax or not, but I look at Peter, I think his character, he is one of those guys, you ever have people in your life like that who are, they're gonna cover for you, right? Like when you're late or you're coming in, or you know, when you were a kid, you had that person that would cover, get your back. I think that's kind of who Peter is, and maybe even in this story, I don't think he even knows if Jesus pays the temple tax. I just think he's covering for Jesus. So he says, yes, he does, he replied. And when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? Now, basically what Jesus is saying there is if you're the king, let's put yourself, if you're the king and you have a society that you oversee, and in that society you collect taxes from them, are you collecting taxes from your kids? I mean, the answer, of course, is no. You're not going to take the, especially your own personal kids, you're not going to collect taxes from them. So he basically goes on in verse 26, is from others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. So let me tell you why Jesus is saying this, that the children are exempt. Let me give you the whole reason why he's saying it. It's very simple. The reality is this, who owns the temple? God. God's the Father, he owns the temple. Who's the Son? Jesus. So does Jesus need to pay for the temple that was built and created by his Father God? No, of course not. There's no reason for him to do that. But he goes on in verse 27, and look what he says. But so that we may not cause offense, here comes the miracle. Go to the lake and throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Now, let me just put yourself in this picture. Jesus says, we're going to pay the tax, right? And the way we're going to pay this tax is, Peter, you're going to go down to the lake and you're going to throw in a fishing line. You're going to catch a fish. And when you catch that fish, you're going to open that fish's mouth, and there's going to be a 4-drachma coin sitting in this fish's mouth. Now, you have to imagine, probably like you and I, can you imagine Peter? What Peter must have felt? Like as he's got his fishing pole and he's walking down to the lake to go catch a fish that's going to have a coin in his mouth. He probably is thinking, I look like an idiot right now. Like, he's probably thinking, I'm walking to this lake. This is so dumb. Why do I got to put in this extra effort? Like, isn't Jesus the creator of the universe? Why doesn't he just go poof and then create a 4-drachma coin instead of making me go down and catch a fish? So we know the Bible says he goes down, he throws in the line, he catches the first fish, he opens his mouth, and there's the 4-drachma coin. And we know that four drachma was 4 days of wages that were inside this fish's mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you would be like me? Like, if I caught a fish and there's money in its mouth, I'm going to throw it out again and catch more fish, right? I'm just being honest and transparent, right? Hey, this works more. This is our story that you need to hear for your life, because I believe this shows us, this story, this miracle shows us a lot about God's heart. And tonight, I want to talk to you, coming off of Thanksgiving, can I talk to us today, can I challenge us today with the miracle of provision? It's a miracle of provision. I want to talk to you about the fact that we serve a God who provides for his people. And I don't know what you are dealing with right now. I don't know what you might be battling with as you're sitting here today, but I want to encourage you, our God provides. Our God provides. No matter if it's a relational that you're lacking in your life, no matter if it's your emotions that are lacking right now, if it's your finances or your direction in your life that you seem to be lacking in, can I encourage you, we serve a God who provides. And the reality is we take one or two extremes in the world today when we have lack in our life, when we feel like something's missing in life. We take two extremes. The first extreme is that we either just try to hustle our way out of it. So we have this lack in our life. So my idea is, if I just work hard enough, if I just think hard enough, if I just reason hard enough, that my lack will be filled. If I just continue to pretend like it's not happening, if I just say, well, I'm just going to put my head to the plow, I'm just going to keep working, then my lack will be filled and I'll be happy. The problem with that is that eventually through that mentality, you burn out. Eventually in that mentality, you drain yourself, you become exhausted, and you get to that place where you're like, this just doesn't work. Then there's the other side of lack that's not just work hard. The other side is, you know what you do? I see lack in my life, so I just give up. I just throw my hands up in the air. This isn't going to work in my life anymore. I'm done. My lack, God's not coming through for me. Nothing seems to work in my life. And guess what that leads to? Then we become depressed. Then we become frustrated, right? And then we become like we're the victim. We get this victim mentality in life where we begin to think, well, my lack is their fault. Or my lack is things are never gonna work out for me. They always win, I always lose. And those are two options that the world has for you as it relates to lack. Work yourself to death or just give up. Today, I wanna present to you a third option. A third option. And the third option is that we serve a God who provides for his people. That's our third option. I've said this so many times throughout this series, but I think it's so important that you get this. It's on the screen, but I believe that Jesus isn't just our savior, he's also our provider. He's not just our savior, he doesn't just save you and go, good luck, have fun. But in the midst of that, he provides for you. And he does it, and sometimes he does it in very unique ways. You know, I think we all have stories of provision where God came through for us. I know for Kim and I, we've had stories of provision where literally someone walked up and handed me a check and for an amount of money that I couldn't imagine. And I didn't even know it. She had to ask me my name just to write the check out. And I remember giving it to me. And then I remember looking at it. And I remember running out the door and saying, wait, are you sure? She's like, well, I wouldn't give it to you. I'm like, do you have this much money and you're making it out? You know, is this thing real? You know? And she's like, I wouldn't write it if I didn't. I remember being 22 years old. We drove from Florida. We finished Bible college. We're driving. We're not married yet. I have a new position. We're getting married in a couple months. And I'm driving. We're driving from Florida to Pennsylvania where her family lives. And I'm dropping her off. And then I have to drive across this whole state of Pennsylvania into Ohio where I'm a new pastor. I'm 22 years old. And literally, my wife had just had a birthday. And she got like $70 in a card for her birthday. And my wife-to-be, I literally had to look at her and say, I need some of that money or I won't make it to Ohio. And I want to say it's like $35 or whatever it was, is all I had to get from where I was at to Ohio, to my new ministry. I remember showing up and the church had put me up to live with someone until we could get settled in our own place. And I remember going to meet my new boss, my new lead pastor, and I'll never forget his words to me. The very first things he says to me was this: do you have any money? Now, when people say, usually your response is like, oh, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I got this. And I'm like, how am I going to answer this? Because I want to say I'm good. And I just simply, when he said, do you have any money? I said, no. And he said, well, we're going to write you your first check tomorrow before you ever do a day of work. And I remember getting that check. I called my wife, like, we're rich. I mean, it was like $300, but we were rich, right? Like, we got this. We're going to be millionaires. And so, but I know for some of you sitting here today, you might say, well, that just really sounds insignificant. But I want to tell you something. You will be shocked how God will provide for you and the issues and the needs of your life. You'll be shocked. The Bible says it this way in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I love that statement because how many of your needs? All of your needs. I mean, this scripture reminds us that it's not, your needs is not based on what's going on in Wall Street. It's not based on what's going on in the economy or what's going on in Washington, D.C. or what even's going on in your life right now. God meets your needs based on his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. David wrote it in Psalms. He said it this way in Psalms 34, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. No good thing. God will take care of you. Another great scripture, right? Matthew chapter 6 says this, "So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Isn't this the world we live in today? Everyone's running around, I'm worried. Where is this going to come from? Where is that going to come from? How is this going to work out? How is that going to... I mean, everyone's walking around that way. And I just know that this time of the year lends itself to that. Like, it's supposed to be a joyous time, and yet this time of the year has this way of reminding us of all that we don't have. This time of the year, these last 2 months of the year remind us of, wow, what do we don't have? We'll hit January, we'll be excited, like, look where we're going. But these last 2 months tend to make us go, well, look what I'm lacking. And I'm here to tell you, I want to speak over to your life. I know somebody in this watching online, somebody's walked in this room today with the weight of finances, with the weight of material things, with the weight of issues of your life. I'm just telling you, I think God is proclaiming over you right now, don't worry about those things anymore. Don't worry about them. It says there, right? Pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. Again, you've heard me say this before, but I need you to get this. This is where God guides, God provides. Where God guides, God provides. Through every season in my life, I've learned that I serve a God that if he is guiding you and you are following him, he will provide for you. He will watch out for you. And that's why here at our church, and I'm encouraging you as followers of Christ, hey, we're not gonna be stingy when it comes to giving. Or when it comes to serving, or when it comes to getting involved, or when it comes to being generous. Paul reminds us again in 2 Corinthians 9, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Hear me, church. You know why we can be cheerful? You know why we can be cheerful? Because we didn't make it happen in the first place. God provided it for us. God provided it. So no matter the economy, no matter the cultural climate, you will have all you need. For God has good work for your life. He doesn't want you to be in lack. He has good work for you. So wherever God leads you, he will provide for you in so many ways. So how do we make this happen real quick this morning? How do we experience the miracle of provision in our own lives? I want to give you quickly three keys. And so remember what I said at the beginning, right? So our normal reaction is, well, if we have lack in our lives, we lack provision, we throw our hands up and we're like, I give up, it's not going to work. Or we just hustle and work ourselves to the bone. But I believe there's a third way, and I want to show you what that third way that God wants to bring provision in your life. So here we go. You want to experience miracles of provision? Here's the first one. How about this? Check your motives. Check your motives. Why do you want more in your life? Why do you want more finances? Why do you want that relationship to work? Why do you want certain things to happen? And hear me, none of those things are bad. We don't believe that. None of those things are bad. But the question really is, why do you want it? Why do you need it? And if we can't check our motives, because we need to know this, right? God won't bless wrong motives. He won't bless wrong motives. Checking your motives is asking God, what purpose does this serve in my life? What purpose do these things serve in my life? You know, why did Peter want the coin in the fish's mouth, right? How many know Jesus didn't walk around, the disciples didn't walk around with money hanging off of their pockets? They were in need of finances. And so remember, when Jesus said this, there was a motive behind the blessing of provision, right? Look what he says in Matthew, the very first part of it, Matthew 17, 27. He says this, so that we may not cause offense. We may not cause offense. So there's a miracle needed, so we will produce this money so that we don't bring offense to the world. Now, isn't it interesting? What does this mean? Because really, we have a world where Jesus says, listen, he's reminding us at the beginning of the scripture, the Father owns it. God the Father owns it. Does the Son have to pay the tax? The answer is no. The Father owns it. Why would he have to pay tax on it? The Father owns the temple. Does Jesus have to pay the tax? No, but hear me this morning. Jesus knew this. He's here for a greater purpose. He knew why he was here, because he doesn't want to cause offense to those that he's trying to reach. And in doing so, I'm going to pay the tax. Do you want to see God's blessing in your life? Live your life with the motive of always reaching people for Christ. What is your motive? What is your desire do you have in your life? I wish we could make this statement like our mantra. Not for the rest of this year, but even in all of 2024, I'm not here to bring offense. You're not here to bring offense. Now, I'm not suggesting that we be like the world and we accept everything going on out there in the world around us. That's not my suggestion. But we have such a cultural war out there between the Christians and the world today. It's like this war that's going on. And what seems to get the most likes, what seems to get the most cheers is the most offensive phrases. The most offensive things that we do and we say. And here's what's happening, church. We're winning points, but we're losing people. We're winning points, but we're losing people. Let me challenge you with this. The gospel, I know, I get it. The gospel is offensive. It's an offensive message. Every Sunday, I have to come up here and tell people Christ died for your sins. He rose again. You got to turn from your sin, abandon your life. You got to follow him. You have to die to yourself daily and lay your desires down and make him Lord and Savior every Sunday. That's an offensive message. I understand that, but I wrote it down this way. You can share an offensive gospel without being an offensive person. You can share an offensive gospel without being an offensive person. I mean, that's why I try to be funny from the platform. It doesn't always work, but I try. Because I'm hoping, like, while their mouths are open laughing, I can shove the truth right down it. You know, no, I'm just kidding. Joke. That's not true. But the reality is we do things differently because we understand that we want to build a bridge. Our motive is to build a bridge. And when we build that bridge, guess what happens? God blesses us. He brings provision to us, right? We build that bridge to that so that lost and dying world can hear about Jesus Christ, right? I don't get why we as Christians would want to build a bubble where we're always like, we're right, you're wrong. I mean, Jesus could have said that in the scripture. You know that, right? He proved the point at the beginning. He could have said, I'm right. I don't have to pay this tax, but get me, he still decided to do something that would build a bridge to the world so that he could reach the world. I believe God's going to bless you personally. God's going to bless our church when we make people important. I believe that. And that's why I'm always challenging you in our church. You know what? Love people. That's why I'm challenging you. Be kind. Don't be mean to the coffee lady, even if she gets it wrong. You can tell her nicely, not really like I like it. I'll take it, but if you want to make me another one, see how nice that is? Instead of like, this stinks, give me another one. You know, hopefully you don't do that. But listen, we got to be quiet because why? Because there's a lost and dying world that needs to be reached for Christ. And I believe that one kind word, that one kind action can open amazing doors of opportunity for you and for Jesus. I think that's why Jesus said it in Matthew 5, right? In the same way, right? Let your light shine before others, that they, I want you to get that word, they, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Hear me, that word they, don't overlook they. Let's be careful that we don't put they in a subcategory. Well, they have opposite of my politics, or they're opposite of where I live, or they're opposite of my preferences. And the reality is sometimes they can be right here in this house where we alienate one another because, well, that's not my preference and that's not what I like. Hear me, they is not the enemy. They are actually our target. They're actually our target. Let's be intentional to seize every opportunity to reach others for Christ. I hesitate sharing this, but I shared it first service, so I got to share it here. But I've had the opportunity the last couple of weeks where the city mayor and the city fathers and mothers have said, hey, we want to gather faith leaders together. We're trying to find the solution for the homeless issues in Missoula. And here's the reality. I don't know if we'll find the solution. I don't even know how we'll be a part of it. But I'll say this. I want CLC to be an influence in our city. And if that means I get to sit around, I'll sit around a table and I'll talk and I'll do what I can do, then we're gonna do that. And I remember I was at this last meeting. This is the second meeting I've been to, and this one this week I was with Matt and Roger, who attends our church, oversees our food bank. He was there as well, and we're sitting there, and I'm sitting here, and next to me is the chief of staff for the mayor, the chief of police. Pastor Matt's sitting here, and sitting next to him is the secretary for the mayor. And sitting next to her was the brand new mayor, just elected. It was her first day on the job, right? And then like an empty chair, then Roger's sitting over there. Well, Matt and I, we didn't come prepared. We didn't have a pen. And they had you sign in something. So Roger had tossed us down the pen. And so I'm writing in. So then at a section, there's the mayor's doing her spiel. Like she's talking, first day on the job. And you ever have those moments where like you're just in a cloud? And just out of nowhere, I said, I'm going to throw the pen back to Roger. And it almost knocks her in the head. As she's talking, she's like, whoa. And this pen goes flying by. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Like, we are now on the blacklist of our church, right? And the room's laughing. And I'm like, I just almost clocked the mayor on her first day of office with a pen while she's talking. I couldn't believe it. I went up to her and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, I'm so embarrassed. I said, I don't know what I was thinking. I said, you're going to always remember my first day of office. A pastor about took me out with a pen in the temple. And I'm like, oh my. But here's the realization, folks, that I walked away with. We might not share the same beliefs or the same way things should be done, but the reality is no matter where we fall, we all want to do what is good. Like we all want to what's best for our city and for our people. Yeah, we acted out different ways, but I walked away going, these aren't bad people. They really want what's best for their community. Maybe not the way we would want that. And I want to say they are not my enemy. They need to know Jesus. That's what I walked away with. Listen, what is your motive this morning? What is it? Where is it at? I wrote it down this way. Guard your heart from being offended with the very people God has called you to reach. Just guard your heart. I get it, right? The world is crazy out there. It's bizarre. And yes, absolutely, we have to guard our hearts and we have to guard our minds from the world as well. But they are also the same people that we're called to love. So let's go after the they. Let's check our motives, right? Our motives should always, get this, our motives should always be rooted in eternity and reaching people for Jesus. So if you sit out here today and you're saying, God, I just want to be blessed financially. I just want to be blessed financially. Can I just encourage you, if it's rooted in eternity and it's rooted in others, I can see God blessing that. I can see God blessing that. It's because you just want a new boat? Maybe. He's God, I'm not. So, but I'm just encouraging you, check your motives. Number two, how do we see the miracle provision? How about this? Embrace your gifts. God has uniquely gifted you in a certain way, each of us. And that gift, I believe, is key to the blessing of provision that God wants to bring to your life. I hope this puts you, this is good news for all of you. You are weird on purpose. You are. You're all weird. I'm not. You are. You're all weird, but it's okay. You're weird on purpose. Like you have a unique gift on purpose. God designed you with some kind of gift, and he wants to use that gift to bring you provision, to bring blessing into your life. Now, notice what he said to Peter in Matthew 17. He says this, go to the lake and throw out your line. Now, I'm so thankful that God didn't say that to me. When I was a new youth pastor in Ohio, when I said, man, I'm lacking provision, I'm glad Jesus didn't say, hey, why don't you just go get a fishing pole and throw out a line to the lake? Like if he would have said that to me, I'd have been like, where do I get that at? Like what lake do I go to? But that's not what happened with Peter. You got to think, here's what Peter knew, right? Here's what Peter knew. He knew this. He didn't have to go find a fishing pole. Why? Because Peter was a fisherman. Isn't it interesting that God used his gift to provide for him? I mean, Peter gets this fishing pole. He gets his fishing pole, and Peter's like, I can do that. Like when Jesus told him, hey, go fish for this, Peter didn't go, hey, how do I do that? I think Jesus intentionally used his gift to do a miracle. He knew exactly what, I know how to fish. So he takes it. Now we weren't successful in the first service with this, but we're gonna try it again. So he takes the fish because he knows how to do it, and he casts it out somewhere, right? And he knows how to fish. And as he casts it out, probably the first cast, he's, oh my gosh, I got one. Oh, and he gets a fish. By the tail, he gets a fish. First try, he catches the fish. Can I think about it? You have to think that Peter had probably reeled in hundreds, thousands of fish before, right? But this one was different. Why? Because it was Jesus directed. Jesus told him to do it. You might have done things for years, but when Jesus directs it, it's different. Come on, hear me. You might have the same job, Peter did. You might have the same marriage, same routine, same God experiences every day and every day, but it's different when we start letting Jesus direct it. Changes everything, right? Jesus will change your marriage. He'll change your job. He'll change your family when you allow him to direct it. Because when Jesus directs your life, I'm telling you, what is natural becomes supernatural. What's natural becomes supernatural. And God provides it in his life. That's what he did. He threw it out, boom, catches the first fish. And there inside the fish's mouth was a drachma, was the miracle. I'm gonna put this down for a minute. He used his gift. I just wanna say to all of you in this room, I believe God has an assignment for all of us. All of us. I wrote down this way, you can put it on the screen. The assignment you have isn't a punishment from God, it's what he's using to provide for you. So your assignment, it's like the fishing pole, right? It's the fishing pole, your assignment is the fishing pole that God puts in your hand. And the fishing pole looks different for all of us. Your assignment is different for all of us. Your assignment absolutely could be your job. It could be a ministry that you serve here in the church. It could be the fact that you're a parent or becoming a parent, or you're a grandparent, or maybe God's assignment in your life is behind a camera or digitally designing something. Maybe your assignment is you're an intercessor and you pray, or you're an evangelist. We can go on and on, but the reality is, every one of you have an assignment, and your assignment is God's way of using you and providing for you. Don't despise God's assignment on your life. Can I encourage you this way? Invest in it. Invest in it. Don't envy someone else's gifts, right? You're ever going like, man, look at the, man, amazing. I can't do that. I wish I could do that. Woe is me. Can I encourage you to embrace your gift? Get this. Isn't it interesting? Check this out. Isn't it interesting that the guy who wrote this, Matthew, wrote this gospel that we're reading? Isn't it interesting that he was a tax collector? He was a tax collector. A tax collector writes this gospel. Now, if I was him writing this gospel, I might word it like this. And because he, Jesus, and Peter didn't know anything about money, he had to use his little fishing pole to go catch a fish. Like, you understand where he's coming from. It's like he could have absolutely come at that way. But I think the reality is, as Matthew writes, is understanding that God has a unique assignment for all of us. And I think he says this, no, I'm not gonna write it that. We're gonna celebrate that we are a collection of different gifted people. We're a collection of different people. We all have a God assignment on our lives. We don't compete with each other. Because we know that God provides for me and God provides for you in different ways, because he is such a personal God. I think Matthew understood that. He's a personal, invest in your assignment. Let me give you this real quick. Matthew 25, real quick, says this way. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Get that. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So here's the reality. God gives according to our ability. And as your ability grows, God gives more. So in other words, you invest in your assignment, you give more, you do more, your ability gets better, your faithfulness gets better, and God gives you more. And as we invest in our God-given assignment, we gain for God's kingdom and for ourselves. I think it's interesting that God used a fishing pole for Peter because that was his ability. That's what he was good at. And as you grow in your ability, as we grow in our assignment, I just encourage you, you're going to watch how God will bless your life. St. Augustine says it amazingly. Get this. God provides the wind, man must raise the sail. God provides the wind, man must raise the sail. We pray all the time, God, just bless me. God, I just want your blessing in my life. Not a bad prayer, but we just pray all the time, God, I need your blessing. And I think sometimes God in heaven looks down and says, well, then do the things that activate blessing. Invest in your assignment. I'm gonna do this real quickly. I wanna give you some practical things real quick that says this. Rules, I have these things called rules to live by with God's assignment. And it's real simple. Rules to live by with God's assignment. You have an assignment in your life. Here's some real practical rules to live by. Here's number one. Can I get this with you? Show up. Now, I don't mean just like show up on time or show up at church. I know those are all good things. But the reality is most of us, when it comes to God's assignment, we're always up and down. Light switches, on and off. Can I assure you, just show up and be consistent with what God's put in your heart. How about this one? Be self-motivated. In other words, do the extra stuff. Like, don't just come to church on Sunday and go, I'm good on Sunday. No, it's not about just Sunday. It's about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Be self-motivated to do the other things so that you can have God's blessing upon your life. How about this one? Check your attitude. In other words, what version of you shows up for God's assignment that day? Check your attitude. How does it mix? How does it gel? Are you on? Are you off? Another one here. Go the extra mile. Like, don't cut corners. How many, you just can't cut corners with God. You gotta go all the way in, right? Go after all that God has for you, man. Worship like you've never worshiped. Pray like you never before. Get involved like you never before. Go the extra mile. How about this one? Say yes to the extra things. Say yes to the extra. Say yes to the extra things. God, believe me, God's gonna ask you to do other things. Like, don't just say, well, that's not my assignment. Well, maybe God's asking you to do more than just your assignment. Be willing to do the extra things. What can I do more? Okay, how about this one? Be a peacemaker. Come on. God's looking for people who promote unity. Be a peacemaker, not a critic. Be a peacemaker. How about this one? Rules to live by. Ask for feedback and counsel, right? Do you ever have that? You're like, we love people to tell us, man, I see something different in your life. Like when I empty the dishwasher, I want Kim to tell me how good I did. You did great, thank you. Oh, thank you. You made the bed this morning. Good job, Heath. You know what I mean? But we want that feedback. Sometimes we just need to ask people, hey, do you see God working in my life? What are some things that I can do more of? So get that feedback, get that counsel. How about this one? Publicly celebrate others. Publicly celebrate others. You want God to champion your assignment? You know, I believe this. When you champion other people, God will champion you. I believe that. God's blessed. Cheer for others. And then last one I would say is simply this. How about pray regularly over your assignment and the assignment of others? Just like, God, what do you have for my life? I pray that we see the most in your life as well. Listen to me. I just believe that if you're on a journey with faith right now, you do these things and you accept God's assignment in your life, you do these, I believe God will bless your life. I wrote it down this way. As Christians, we should do our best in every area of our lives because everything we do is for the Lord. Everything we do is for the Lord. Let me give you the last one. How do we experience miracles of provision in our life? How do we experience it? Simply this, handle the blessing with care. Handle the blessing with care. So we're gonna check our motives, right? Is my motives about eternity and others? We're gonna make sure to embrace our giftings, use our giftings, and put them into practice in the assignment of our lives. And then when God blesses my life, I handle it with care. When God blesses that relationship, I handle it with care. When God blesses my finances, I handle it with care. When God blesses my job or my business, I handle it with care. When God brings blessing to my family, I handle it with care. Because how you handle what God has given you now determines what you're blessed with next. Most people just aren't experiencing blessing right now because they haven't been faithful before. And I just believe that God's a good steward of his resources and his people. So if you're asking God to bless you, you have to make a choice. If you're going to give it to me, I'm going to be a good steward of what you bless me with. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for this amazing, amazing facility that we have. In fact, I joked at this mayor's meeting that I joked, I'm like, yeah, we don't have a good parking lot. And they all laughed because they know that's not true. We have an amazing parking lot. We have an amazing facility. I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for our amazing team, our amazing staff that we have here. I'm just so thankful. And my genuine prayer almost daily is simply this: Lord, let us be a good steward of every resource, of every dollar, over this facility, over the people who call CLC their church. We have big dreams. Like, we want to see this place grow. But I believe that the only way we see growth is if we are faithful with what we have now. Faithful with what we have now. And it's the same thing with your life. Look at this passage again. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch. Open its mouth. Notice it said first fish. Open its mouth and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and for yours. Now, if I was Peter, right, I would think, I would be like, I know how this works. I know how to do this. Okay, this is one fish. But I need hundreds of fish to pay 4 days of wages. Like, one fish is not going to cover 4 days of wages. I'm going to need more than that. But that's not what God said. He said, take the one I've given you, and in that one he gives you is the miracle that you need. Some of us have been asking God more. God, I need more. God, I need more. And God is saying, don't worry about more. Be faithful in what I've given you now. That one assignment, that one job, that one relationship, that one time that you have before you. Be faithful with your family. Be faithful with those around you. God cares about what he's given each of us right now. He cares about that. And that's how we experience blessing in our lives. Wrote this way, prosperity, or another way of saying that is the blessing in your life, is a byproduct of an effective management of whatever God provides. Can you manage what God has already given you and what he is giving you? He told you he'd provide for you. He told you that he would come through for you. And if you want overwhelming blessing in your life, if you want more, then we have to learn how to handle with care what God has already given us. I love how Paul writes it in 1 Timothy. He says, 1 Timothy 6, he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. In other words, don't put your hope in the fact that Peter's not walking around going, hey, look at this, guys. I caught this fish. It's got 4 days worth of wages in his mouth. Look what I can do. I'm that good. Let me tell you, his hope, Peter's hope, is not in the fish with the coin in his mouth. That is not it. His hope is in the one who said to go and fish and find the coin. His hope is in Jesus. I just want to encourage you today. Please don't put your hope in stuff. Don't put your hope in your abilities. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I close with this. Abraham, if you read the scripture, the Old Testament, he's the father of faith, and he gives him this, God gives him this test. He tells him to go sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So he's going to follow through with it. And you're on this journey up the mountain, if you know the story. And they're on the mountaintop, and they're walking up to the mountain. And Isaac says to his dad, he says this question, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham looks at his son, who he knows is the sacrifice. And he says this amazing phrase. He says, the Lord will provide. That phrase in Hebrew is translated a certain way. That phrase, maybe you've heard it before, but that phrase in Hebrew is simply this, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. Obviously, we know the story where God did provide a lamb, and it wasn't Isaac. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what tomorrow looks like for you, but the simplicity of it is this, God will provide. It may look unique. It may not look the way that you expected it to look. But today, you can take a moment in this church. You can take a moment wherever you're watching. You can take a moment to step back and say, listen, Jehovah Jireh will provide. I can ask him to provide, and he will provide for us. Would you stand with me this morning? I remember when Braden was probably about 6 years old, and I had gone on a trip, one of the ones, I was doing a lot of traveling and speaking and different conferences, and I remember coming back, and he came in the room, I'll never forget this, and he came in where I was, exhausted, and he's like, so Dad, imagine a six-year-old saying this, Dad, how was your trip? Ah, it was good, buddy. Yeah, thank you. Did you meet people? Yeah, I met people. What'd you talk about? Like, what's going on here? Like, what six-year-old, like, wants to know all this stuff? I'm like, I'm missing something, right? And then there was, like, this weird pause where we were staring at each other. And then he got to the root of it. Did you bring me back something? Did you bring me back something? I'm like, ah. Oh. Listen to what Matthew 7 says. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Come on. If we know how to give good gifts, imagine the gifts that your Father in heaven can provide for you. I want to encourage us to moment while we're standing, while you're standing there, can we take a moment and say, God, we look to you to provide for us. We look to you to provide. Listen, can I encourage you this morning as you're standing? If you need a breakthrough, ask him for it. If you're in the room today and you need restoration in your life or in a relationship, ask him for it. If you need a financial blessing in your life, ask him for it. If you're in the room today and you have things in your life that only God can answer for you, only God can direct, can I encourage you? Ask him for it. And if you're here today and you just need healing, emotionally, physically, can I encourage you? Ask him for it. Because I just believe that he is a God who is willing to provide for our needs according to his riches and his glory in Jesus Christ. Lord, right now we ask you for it. We ask you for the needs in this room. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and, Lord, do a miracle of provision in our lives. Maybe there's all of us that have some need that we need a provision. And Lord, you are the miracle worker. You do things in unique ways. You do things in ways that we don't expect to be done. But at the end of the day, God, you are faithful. And you will provide for us according to your riches and to your glory. Let us embrace the fact that you want to do good things for your people. We don't have to question that. We don't have to wonder. The reality is this, God, you want to provide for us. God, you want to do good gifts in our lives. We ask you for it right now. In Jesus' name.
That is who you are. Waymaker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
That's who you are, God.
God. That is who you are. Who you are, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
That's who you are, God.
That is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That's who he is today. I'm going to close in prayer in a moment, but I want to give you this and remind you of this. There's one caveat we have when we are in need. There's one caveat when we want the blessings of God in our lives. We have to ask. If you need that provision in your life, you need God to show up in a real way, you have to ask. We have to ask our provider, God, will you make a way? Will you make a way in my situation and in my life? You can do that, and he will come through for you. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I'm going to close us out in prayer today. But if you're here today and you've heard us talk today, and we've heard this story of Jesus and this story of provision and how God wants to bring blessings to your life, and you're in a place right now where your life just is not connected to God. Maybe you're at a place right now where the Lord isn't everything, and in order to have that blessing, I gotta submit my life to him. If you're in the room today, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, right where you're sitting right now. But if you would say, that's me, I want to reconnect my life. I want to bring my life in alignment with God. It's not where it needs to be. We want to pray for you right where you're sitting. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here and you would say, that's me, I just want to know who I'm praying for. Maybe you just be bold enough to slip a hand up real quick. If that's you in this room, I just need, thank you. Thank you. It's hands. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. Lord, right now, we just pray that over the people in this room. God, you would help us all to connect our lives to you. That God, it's just so simple that we just say, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sins? Help me to live for you. Help me to connect my life to you, oh God. Your word tells us, Lord, that we've confessed our sins, that if we will accept you as our Lord and Savior, that we will be saved. And I pray that over your people today, that God, we would just say, Lord, we need you. We submit our lives to you. Finally, Lord, I pray blessings over your people today. May your face shine upon them. May you watch over them and keep them, oh God. Lord, may they see blessings. May we see blessings like we've never had before. May we see provision in this place like we've never had before, God. May we see the lost come to know you like we never have before. May our assignment and our abilities grow as we submit our lives to you, oh God. And then, Lord, I look forward to the miracles of people in this room saying, Lord, I saw God's provision in my life. And Lord, we will give you the honor and we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. We're so thankful. I want to remind you, if you're a lady and you'd like to be here, please sign up. Also, if you have time to stay around and help us, we're going to set this place up. And if you have time tomorrow at 10, we're going to be decorating. Hey, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.